Hi, this is Rabbi Jim Egolf. Thank you so much for tuning into my podcast. It is the week of August 17th. It's Elul, and it's the month right before the High Holidays. And it's Parshat Shoftim this week. Charles Swindle once wrote that every time I hear the word apathy, I remember the words of a friend of mine who taught high school just long enough to realize that he shouldn't have been teaching high school. He was assigned to teach a course filled with brim with students who did not want to learn. In fact, it was one of those classes where you had to arrive very early to get one of the special seats in the back. A couple of the fellows got there so late they were stuck in the front row. They couldn't care less what the subject was. The teacher finally got fed up with their apathy. He grabbed a piece of chalk, whirled around to the chalkboard, and began to slash away in big, foot-high letters, A-P-A-T-H-Y. He underlined it twice and slammed an exclamation point on it that broke the chalk as he hammered it against the board. One of the students in the front row frowned as he struggled to read the word. Unable to pronounce it, he tilted his head to one side as he started spelling it aloud, then mispronounced it. He then leaned over and muttered to his buddy, "What in the world is apathy?" His friend yawned back with a sigh. "Who cares?" This week we get to the notion of judges and the fact that we actually do have to care. The Torah portion this week says, "You shall appoint judges and magistrates," and it begins Parshat Shoftim. As the Torah portion winds through a series of laws, it reminds us of how central a sense of justice and righteousness are to a Jewish view of the world. Justice is so important that the king who sits on a throne must write, not buy, a copy of the Torah for himself, and keep it with himself at all times. Beyond this, the Torah speaks directly to us regarding the issue of justice. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. What do we do with justice in our world today? Does it exist, and how does it exist within a Jewish context? First, the notion of justice is not something that is stationary. There is not some lofty notion that justice is a static thing that came into existence at some point in history and has never changed since. Hence, the charge we receive is tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. The notion conveyed in the Torah is that if we approach justice in a lackadaisical manner, it is not true justice. Torah charges us to chase after a sense of justice, to expand its understanding and its meaning so that it is something that evokes passion in people and in our society. In the practice of justice, we must always be questioning the notion of justice. Hence, this could be one of the reasons for the repetition of the words, tzedek, tzedek. It is as if the Torah invites us to question the justice in any decision and action. The one who questions the justness in a decision is one who is truly in pursuit of justice. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Justice, is it really just? Yes, we are pursuing it. So how does this play out? The Jerusalem Talmud tells the story that prior to the days of having professional legal counsel, that people would represent themselves in a court. The story emerges that Rabbi Huna would see two litigants come forth in a case of law. if the defendant had a good case, but was unable to present his case well, Rabbi Huna would ask him, "Is this what you mean to say?" Thus, in the pursuit of justice, Rabbi Huna went to a point where he helped in the presentation of a case in his court. Some might think that this is stepping over the line, and perhaps in our legal system some would question this. However, I bring the following story. A rabbi in our commonwealth began his life or career as a lawyer. And as most rabbis were once young rabbis, this lawyer was once a neophyte in a court case. The judge, sensing that this attorney was new in the courtroom, helped this young attorney to walk through his case and present it for his client. Was this overstepping the law? That is not for me to necessarily judge, but if we return to the notion of Rabbi Huna's courtroom, perhaps it is what was needed. Since it is hard for justice to be equal when, as in this case, attorneys have different levels of experience, and every lawyer had to go through that experience of once entering a courtroom as a novice in a case. To me, the judge pursued justice in this case by ensuring that he strove for justice regardless of the imperfection found in the tools of its execution. Hence, I argue that a Jewish sense of justice, even a secular sense of justice, depending on the judge, is not static, but something that we must strive for. Equality is one of those attributes. Equality is one of the attributes as the notion that justice is based on a text. And in this Torah portion, the text is, of course, Torah. Thus it is said that when a king sat on the throne, a book of the Torah had to first be written by the king, then used by the king when rendering decisions. The Babylonian Talmud suggests that this was not one Torah, rather it was two. Commenting on the verse, "And he shall write him the repetition of this law," Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18. The king should write out two copies, one that goes out and comes in with him, and the other that is kept in his archives. The one that goes out and comes in with him should be written out in small letters, so that it is as small as an amulet, which he should suspend from his arm, in keeping with the verse, "I have set Adonai always before me. Surely God is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." Psalm 16, verse 8. Since the rabbis would assert the Torah to be the closest thing to God, then they wanted this to be a constant reminder to the king. The Talmud wanted the king to have more than one Torah at his disposal, and yet the king could not order the smaller version, or the larger one for that matter, from Amazon.com. Rather, the king had to write the scroll himself. He had to be part of the continuation of justice in the society by actively adding his own hand to the source of justice, thus placing himself under the aegis of God. Justice is not a spectator sport. We have to strive for it, even if we are the king. This is critical since in Judaism we have examples of those who did not strive for justice, and our tradition tends to ascribe to these people a somewhat less than status. It's not that they're bad, they just didn't aspire to the pursuit of justice. Noah, for example, does not argue for justice and is labeled by the word Tam. Tam can mean many things, but usually is translated as innocent or even simple. though in our context it could also be read as indifferent. It is embodied in the Passover Seder, Tam, Mahu Omer, the simple son. What does he ask? This son is answered in a somewhat positive way, but he does not engage the question. He does not show aspirations of delving into deeper meanings. He seems to be somewhat curious, but could just as easily be apathetic. The problem with the Tam in the pursuit of justice is that we don't know if this person is just simple, thus beginning to learn justice, or if perhaps he is indifferent. If indifferent, like Noah, I would quote Elie Wiesel, who said, "The opposite of love is not hate, it is indifference. The opposite of art is not ugliness, it is indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it is indifference. And the opposite of life is not death, it is indifference." One cannot be indifferent and walk a just path. The just path has to involve intention, it has to involve effort, maybe even discomfort at times, to uphold the charge to pursue justice. The prophet Isaiah said, "Then justice shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness shall abide in the fruitful field." But our striving has to be to bring justice into our lives and into our world. We cannot be indifferent to it. We cannot just leave it out there for someone else to go out and find. We have to be the ones who go out, pursue it, and bring it into our lives. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Justice, justice, you shall pursue. I wish you a safe and blessed week, and a Shabbat Shalom.